It is a familial environment to equip people with God's point of view.
Dr. Tony Evans says the church is a storehouse of practical, life-giving wisdom and answers.
A local body of believers who are learning to live kingdom lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. People often look forward to attending church for the singing, the preaching, the community, and fellowship. But today, Dr. Evans reminds us there's another purpose for the church that's absolutely critical to our world, the connection the church provides the here and now with heaven and eternity. Let's join him as he elaborates.
A repository is a container. It's a storehouse. The repository for our medicine is the pharmacy. It is the place we go that houses that which we need for health and healing. You go to the records building downtown, which is a repository of information about people and locations and history. You have a repository. God has a repository, a storehouse, if you will, a community location for your spiritual well-being, a place where you're supposed to be able to go to get good food, amen, amen. A place where you're supposed to go, be able to go and eat well. He has a place scattered throughout every community for health, healing, and well-being, not only of the people who attend, but because of its location, for the people who live in surrounding vicinity. It is the repository of truth. This is what Paul says to Timothy, his son in ministry, in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you soon. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Timothy is located in a very secular city, the creme de la creme site of Asia Minor called Ephesus. A church has been established there. We'll give it a name, Ephesus Bible Fellowship. And Timothy is the pastor there, and Paul, his spiritual head, writes him, and he says, young man, I want to make sure that when people come to your grocery store, they're coming to the truth. Ephesus is a secular culture. It is full of idolatry. You can read it all in Acts chapter 19. It is full of materialism. It is full of witchcraft. It is full of errant theology, errant teaching, and social decay, even though it is an influential marketplace of ideas. And he says, and all the stuff that the folks are hearing, Timothy, and all the ideas, ideologies, idiosyncratic perspectives that they are imbuing into their minds in spite of what the kids are being taught in school or the young adults are being taught in college, in spite of what they're hearing in corporate America, in spite of what they're hearing in the governmental regimes, in spite of all of that, you make sure when they shop at this store, they're getting the truth. Now, we've defined the word truth. Truth is God's absolute standard by which reality is measured. Truth sits outside of you. It is not dependent on you. You don't have to feel it, like it, or agree with it for it to be true. Amen. It just has to be what God says. Amen. Then it's true. And you and I, we have to adjust. We live in a world that doesn't want God's viewpoint, therefore it doesn't want the truth. Because it doesn't want the truth, what we wind up with is cultural consequences in our personal lives, family lives, church lives, and in our civic engagement. And yet God wants to speak truth into all of those issues, personally, economically, socially, racially, morally. He wants to speak the truth. And so he tells Timothy, in a number of places. You make sure this grocery store is well stocked with truth. The first thing we need to remind you of, since the church is the grocery store of the truth, we need to remind us all what the church is. It's not a fraternity or a sorority. Yes, it has those relational components. In fact, it's called the family in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, treat the older men like fathers, the older women like mothers, the younger women like sisters, the younger men like brothers. He says, yes, it is a familial environment, but it is a familiar environment to equip people with God's point of view. He says that we are to represent him as his kingdom people. That's why we want each of you to become a kingdom disciple who is a kingdom servant that makes a kingdom impact. If you're a lawyer, you're not just a lawyer. You're God's representative in the Bar Association, so the Bar Association sees what God looks like when God tries a case. If you're a doctor, you're not just a doctor. You're God's representative in the medical field, so the medical field sees what God looks like when God helps hurting people. If you are a teacher, you're not just a teacher. You're God's representative in the classroom, so the classroom sees what God looks like when God teaches truth. You are to represent in every sphere of life the kingdom of God with the truth. And so he says to Timothy, Timothy, you make sure the people who come to this grocery store, this food place spiritually, are people who understand the church, that you're not just showing up for a service once a week or twice a week. You're learning how to live out a divine frame of reference in all of life. He says, because we want men to operate differently, the conduct, he says, that men know how to conduct themselves. If you come into my kingdom, meaning my house, how you run your house becomes secondary if you come into my house. So when you come into my house, and you used to doing drugs in your house, that ain't gonna fly in my house. Because I got different rules in my house, okay? You bring your girlfriend to my house, and if you spend the night, you're gonna be in two separate rooms. Now, I know that may not be doing what you do in your house, but you ain't in your house, you're in my house. So your conduct has to adjust to my house. You say, but we've been doing drugs. We've been living this way. We've been doing this forever. Yeah, you have in your house. But you in my house. And so you must learn to operate differently because you are in my house. Guess what? God calls all of creation God's house. Amen. Calls all of creation. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell in it. See, this whole thing is God's house. Now, if you go out and create your own world, you can do your own thing. But the moment you insist that your rules operate in my house, we're going to be in conflict. You're going to be in conflict because your rules and my rules they're not agreeing. We are going to be in conflict. We are living in a world in conflict with God. And so people are in conflict with one another because folk are in conflict with God because we do not want to accept his truth. When you go to a hospital, it is the repository of health. You go there to be better. I think you want the doctor to tell you the truth. Even if it's negative, you still want the truth because you want to be better. You don't go into the hospital and say, Doc, now I'm here, but only tell me stuff I want to hear because then you can't be helped. Sometimes that's going to be medicine. Sometimes that's going to be surgery. Sometimes it may not be what you thought it was, okay? But you go there for the truth because it's the repository of health. Church is supposed to be a hospital, not a hospice. You know what a hospice is? They mean we can't help you. So we just going to make you comfortable while you die. That's a hospice. It can't help you. That's not what we're here for. To tell you stuff that's not going to help you live, but just make you comfortable with sermons that feel good and pats on the back that feel good and hugs. There's a place for all of that, but not at the expense of the truth, which should be given in love. What far too many of us have done is built our lives around appetizers and we've skipped the main meal. Because as long as it's fun and laughter, we can skip the truth. Pillars are the support, like a filling station. You go because you're running out of fuel and you need to fill them up. Because the world, the society, will drain your spiritual tank. It'll suck the life right out of you. Many of you are battling it, I hear, battling it every day. You're facing that which God rejects, and it drains you. So you need to pull in and fill it up so you can go back out into society as a kingdom representative.
Dr. Evans will have more on the Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth, when he returns in just a moment. First, though, you can dig even deeper into today's subject with the help of Tony's brand new book, Kingdom Values. It'll help you put what you're learning about God's truth to work as you build a more Christ-centered character. Rather than conforming to our crumbling culture, you learn how to develop integrity, authenticity, compassion, accountability, and more. Discover how to experience real change, not just for yourself, but for the people you care about and influence. Contact us today and let us send you a copy of Kingdom Values. It's yours when you make a contribution to help us keep the alternative coming your way each day. But that's just the beginning. Along with the book, you'll also get all 8 full-length messages in Tony's current series, Returning to the Truth. You can get the details and make the arrangements instantly at tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message right after this.
It's beyond a Sunday sermon, a chance to really dig into the Bible and the kingdom in a new way. Anytime and anywhere, because it's all online. The Tony Evans Training Center. In-depth courses on all kinds of topics. Cultural transformation. Intro to expository preaching. Jude, John, Hebrews, Old Testament, New Testament, and so much more. These aren't sermons. They're teaching courses to help you engage, understand Scripture, and not just to hear about, but to explore the kingdom of God on your own. Find out more at TonyEvansTraining.org. TonyEvansTraining.org.
He comes now to his final point. He says, Timothy, you make sure when they show up, they hear the truth. They hear it with clarity. They hear it with love. But they hear the truth. And then he says in verse 16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. So let me talk about the word mystery. In the Bible, the word mystery refers to something that was concealed in the Old Testament that was revealed in the New Testament. Okay? It's like a woman early in her pregnancy and she doesn't know she's pregnant because it's too early. She's kind of feeling some kind of way, but she doesn't know it's because she's pregnant. But she goes to the drugstore and she gets a pregnancy test. Or she goes to a center and she gets an ultrasound. And all of a sudden, what was not known has now been made manifest. So that the mystery of why she was feeling a little off, a little something, something, has now been made manifest. So that's what mystery is. It is something that was not fully exposed in the Old Testament that has been made clear in the New Testament. When he says the word great is the mystery, this is a shout. He's not saying, great is the mystery. Just feel the word great. It's a shout. When they were at Artemis, and you see when people are making a big deal about something in the culture, they will shout it out. Great is the mystery of godliness. It was a confession, he says. It was something they blurted out, and they said it at one time. Great is the mystery of godliness. It was a shout, and then they sang a song. Because the rest of verse 16 is a hymn. It was a hymn that they would sing after they cheered and shouted. He says, this confession will make you want to shout. Great is the mystery. I haven't even told it to you yet, and I feel like shouting. Great is the mystery. What was concealed in the Old Testament that wasn't clear or fully revealed in the sacrifices, fully revealed in the worship, fully revealed in the Jewish laws, fully revealed in the books of the Old Testament, has now, bam, been made clear. So the question is, what is the mystery? He says, let's sing a song. And he recites the hymn. Let's look at the verses. The first verse, he was revealed in the flesh. That's called incarnation. No, he wasn't beginning in the flesh. He was revealed in the flesh. Because unto us a child was born, but unto us a son is given. The son existed before the child was born. It's called the incarnation, God becoming a man in flesh. It's called the virgin birth. Amen. See, what God did was he was in heaven and went click, click, took a selfie. And up pops Jesus Christ in a manger. Impregnated Mary by the Holy Spirit so that he's fully God, fully man in one person. And that leads him to want to shout. Great is this mystery in the incarnation. He goes to the next verse, was vindicated in the spirit. So he goes from incarnation to vindication. What vindicated Jesus? Why do we not make Jesus ordinary and we make Jesus extraordinary? Well, the virgin birth is not enough, but in case you didn't get it, he proved to be who he said he was. And the way he proved to be what he said he was is by a sinless life, by his miracles, and by his resurrection. So even if you didn't believe what he said, you could see what he did. So he moved from incarnation to vindication. Let's go to the next verse. Seen by angels. That's visualization. The angels showed up at his birth. Angels showed up at his temptation. Angels showed up at his death. Angels showed up at his resurrection. And whenever he ran into demons, they shook. So the spiritual world couldn't ignore him and vindicated that he was who he declared himself to be. Let's go to the next verse. Proclaimed among the nations. That's proclamation. That there's nowhere you can go where his name is not held in high honor. Where Jesus the Christ is not given the props that are due him. As the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the eternal Son of God. He goes to the next verse. He says, believed on in the world. That's confession. You'll hear people confessing the name of Jesus on every continent. You'll find him in every hole. You will find him in the most inconspicuous of places. Why? Because of who he was, God has made sure that people know and give attesting to the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Then he gives the final verse of the psalm. Says, taken up to glory. That's the ascension after the resurrection. After Jesus rose from the dead 40 days later, he stepped on a cloud in his glorified body. An angel showed up again and said, why do you men stand here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that's gone is going to return. I don't know about you, but that makes a man want to shout. What is the mystery of godliness? It is the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. It is God become a man in the person of Christ. So don't you apologize for Jesus Christ. Don't you be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Don't you hide him behind a bush just because his person is offensive. Anybody who gave his life for you, died for you, rose for you, ascended for you, coming back for you, you don't apologize for. You give honor to his name. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is a common confession. Everybody who comes to church ought to confess. I don't just believe in God. That's generic. I recognize his son. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, truth is in Jesus. Verse 20 and 21. I don't believe in the son, S-U-N, because I see the S-U-N. I believe in the S-U-N because I see everything else because of the S-U-N. So I don't have to see the S-U-N to see what the S-U-N can do. And even though I can't now see the S-O-N, I know the S-O-N is real because I've seen what the S-O-N can do. The Son who's up there can still work down here.
Dr. Tony Evans will come back with a closing thought for us in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you that what we've been listening to today is part of a brand new sermon collection called Returning to the Truth. As always, the full-length versions of all 8 messages are available to review again or to share with a friend or family member. Best of all, we're making them available for a limited time as our gift when you make a contribution toward Tony's ministry. Along with them, we'll include the just-released book I told you about earlier in the program, Kingdom Values, and our thanks for making this ministry possible. This special offer is only available for a few more days, so don't miss your chance to build your character and strengthen your spiritual foundation. All the details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org, where you'll find hundreds of books, CDs, DVDs, Bible studies, and more, most of which are marked down 41% right now as we celebrate our 41st year in ministry. Don't wait. These special offers will only be available through this week. So again, that's tonyevans.org. Or get some in-person help from our Resource Center team by calling 1-800-800-3222. It's open 24/7. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. In a culture that's becoming increasingly hostile to Christianity, it's tempting to worry about what people say about the Bible. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us why it's far more important for us to consider what the Bible says about people. Right now, though, he's back with this final thought.
In conclusion, they have the Academy Awards. They have the Grammys. They have the Doves. They have all of this recognition for what I call saccharine celebrities. Celebrity substitutes. People who are here today and gone tomorrow. They can run fast today, but they slow down tomorrow. They're pretty today, but they got wrinkles tomorrow. So they get their accolades and they get their crowns. They get their flowers. But when you think of Michael Jordan, he's one of a kind. There's nobody like him. When you think of this heyday of Tiger Woods, he's one of a kind. There's nobody like him. When you think of Tom Brady, he's one of a kind. And there's nobody like him. Oh, but I know somebody. Because Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. So excuse me if I stick with Jesus. Excuse me if I stick with the truth. Excuse me if I speak it to the church, because he is the mystery of godliness and he deserves our undivided and undiminished praise.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.